The scripture lesson for this morning is from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. Matthew 2, 13 to 23. Listen to the word of the Lord. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take a child and his mother and flee to Egypt. And remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled that had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He would be called a Nazarene. This is the word of the Lord. Last Friday, I had a dream. Bruce Lee and his family was in town, and I met him at the library of our church. I was thinking about inviting him to give a testimony at our Sunday service. We talked briefly when he entered the room with his little kids. I said, "You did a great job." He said, "Yeah, but it was hard." And you know, it was a dream, so everything is vague and amorphous. I woke up and realized that I couldn't invite him to the Sunday service because he was already dead 47 years ago. However, there's one scene in the dream that I kept remembering. It is when he said it was hard. My interpretation of it is that it's a reminder of the cost of discipleship. Everyone has several dreams every night, but most of the time we don't remember any of them. Occasionally we have dreams that seem to deliver a message, a divine message, but we are not sure how to interpret them. Christians are reluctant to talk about dreams because we want to stay away from superstition or even, you know, misinterpretation because we don't know how to interpret them. We know that some people, like Joseph in the Old Testament, was very good at that. He was very good at interpreting dreams, including his own dreams. Would it be nice if we can interpret our dreams since superstition? Since the Bible repeatedly says that God speaks to us in our dreams. It says, "For God speaks in one way and in two, though people do not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, and when deep sleep falls on mortals, while they slumber on their beds." It was from one of Job's poems. So in today's scripture lesson from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 23, the word dream was mentioned three times. If we include verse 12, just one verse before this passage, there would be four times mentioned in this very short passage. First, the Magi was warned in a dream not to go back to King Herod, the port where they found the Christ child. But since they were warned in the dream, they decided to go a different way home. It made Herod very mad. Now, Joseph was warned in a dream to escape the region. It says, now after they had left, they means the Magi had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. So, as you all know the story of Christmas, Joseph took Mary and child and fled to Egypt. At that time, Jesus was less than 2 years old, since Herod ordered to kill all children under two to eliminate Jesus. Then there's a mentioning of another dream. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead. According to some historians, Jesus might have been in Egypt for about a year or two, because Herod died within a short time after they left their escape. So we can safely assume that Jesus was about 4 years old when he returned from Egypt. Now came another dream to warn Joseph. It says, and after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. You can see that within this chapter, there are four times a dream is mentioned as a method of God talking to people. If you include chapter 1, then you would remember that the angel came to Joseph and to tell him not to be afraid of marrying Mary as his wife. This makes me consider delivering a sermon on dreams. So I did some research, and based on my past experience, I put it together, this message. You know, I became a pastor because of a dream. I was studying in San Francisco at that time. I was attending the Presbyterian Church in Chinatown, San Francisco, and I was approached several times by pastors asking me to consider offering myself as a living sacrifice to serve the Lord as a minister. I ignored their invitation because I was here trying to establish myself still early. And I used to want to become a pastor back in Burma, but I was refused by my parents, my grandparents. So I asked God, why now? This is not the right time. I'm still barely surviving here. Maybe later or something like that. But I noticed the calling became stronger and stronger. One day, I was asked again to join the ministry. I went home and prayed about it. And within a week, I had a dream. The dream was very abstract. I enter a park with many people, and each of them holding a cross with many small things dangling on the cross. I was wondering what those small dangling things meant. And then an older man showed up, white hair and white beard, and explained to me what each element was about. And then I started to explain to those people that these are what they meant. But when I turned around, that old man disappeared. I didn't fully understand the dream at the time, but I took it as a sign for me to respond to God's calling to serve him as a minister of word. Over the years, I learned some principles interpreting dreams, biblical way, as opposed to a superstitious pagan way. So here are a few guidelines about interpreting your dreams. First of all, discern God's will. Giving attention to a dream is part of discernment. As Christians, we need to live a life always discerning God's will. We often say, God willing, I will see you tomorrow, something like that. What we usually mean is that if God permits, I will see you tomorrow. However, how do you know if it is God's will that you don't show up? We need to be serious when we say God willing. The reason God's people are getting dreams is that they expect those dreams. They are discerning all the time. They live a discerning life. So when we say God willing, we must at the same time be praying inside, God, please show me your will. And keep your antennas, you know, way up to detect God's response. The reason the Magi saw the star was because they pay attention. They were discerning. They were discerning every night looking at the sky, at the stars. Those didn't see the star was because they were not searching for it. The reason I had the dream was that I was discerning God's will on those days. Discernment also includes differentiating which dream is really from God. Not every dream is God talking to you. Some dreams are just human reaction to the environment. It could be because of a horror movie you watched or the anchovy pizza you ate last night. Yeah, they are just human biological reactions to what you see, what you touch, and what you hear, or what you eat. Some dreams could be from the unclean spirit or the devil. This is when you are trying to do God's work. The devil will attack you or lure you away from doing the right things. You know it is from the devil because it feels dark. God is light. The dream from God is light. Some dreams are from God. How do you know it? The Bible says that we need to discern the spirit because not all spirits are clean. So how do you do that? It's very simple for us as Trinity members because we focus on it. It is called the fruit of the Spirit. If it does not bear the fruit of the Spirit, it's not from God at all. And secondly, do God's will. We must not only discern, but also do God's will. The more we do God's will, the more we become sensitive to God's nudges, just like we become fluent in God's language. The reason Joseph got those dreams and knew that it was from God was that he was already doing God's will. The Bible says, her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. So in here it says Joseph was a righteous man, meaning he has already been doing God's will. That's why he was sensitive to signs and dreams from God. So the more righteous you are, the more God is likely to talk to you, the more you become sensitive to God's words, God's language, God's signs. You would remember another Joseph in the Old Testament. He was able to interpret dreams. And if you read about his life, he was dedicated to doing God's will. Instead of asking God to bless what we are doing, we need to ask God what God is already blessing. Such an attitude will please God. Surely the Bible does promise that we can ask God for anything if we ask with thy will be done attitude rather than my will be done. The result is different. In fact, that's how Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want. Jesus wanted something, that is, to avoid the cross. He prayed for it. He asked for it. But he asked with an attitude, that is, thy will be done attitude, not my will be done attitude. The third principle is deflect idolatry of dreams. One of the reasons God does not let every dream to be easily interpreted was because of human tendency to idolatry. The human beings will worship anything if they think that thing speaks for God. If we keep getting God's message from our dreams, we might end up idolizing dreams and forget about God. Some religions worship trees, animals, and mountains because they saw signs of divinity from those, you know, elements, and they ended up worshiping the creation rather than the creator. The Apostle Paul had hit some snags on discerning God's will. At one point, he felt he was called to preach in Asia, but halfway he found it was not what God wants. Then he went the opposite way, and the Spirit of Jesus did not allow him. And the Bible says they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Then they had come opposite Mysia. They attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. It was recorded in Acts 16:6-7. The point is, even a saint like Paul encountered incertitude of discernment. This will keep us avoid the idolatry of the messenger, which may it be a dream or a sign or a message or an image. The way to deflect idolatry of dreams is not to insist on my way, but submit to God's way, realizing that my previous sense of God's will could be wrong. Joseph of the Old Testament, whom we know as the expert dream interpreter, said that dream interpretation belongs to God in Genesis 40, verse 8. I know it sounds convoluted. Just like the quantum physics, God gives you a dream, and you have to ask God to interpret it. He's warning us that I can even become an idol if I don't give credit to God, if I, you know, am able to interpret dreams. So we have to let God to be both the Alpha and Omega of the dream, both the source and the interpreter of the dream. That's why this is the dream interpretation God's way. So discern God's will, do God's will, and deflect idolatry of dreams. So at this last week of the year, may we receive dreams from God for God's guidance into the new year to come. As individuals, as families, and as a church, may God bless you all. And Happy New Year. Amen.